Welcome to episode 30 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, Hordes, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast with a talking horse that takes us on a wild ride. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Pat.
And I'm Jason.
Welcome back, Jason.
Jason Flanzer.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me here.
Who knows about the talking horses?
I happen to know much about talking horses.
And Mr. Winky.
And Mr. Winky.
And no, that's well. Not just a euphemism. It is for him, but it has a double meaning.
He does have weasels as well.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that horse, I wouldn't have spent that semester in college.
Ooh.
Dave doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
Somebody out there does.
All right. So, welcome to the... I already covered that, didn't we?
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. It's like my one big part of the show and you try to show me up. Thanks. But you failed.
Sort of like that part of the movie where they repeated the face transformation twice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Watch Transmorphers, greatest straight-to-DVD movie ever made.
Horrible.
I can't believe that.
I don't think we should recommend this.
It's in contention for worst, I'll say that. Okay. It's very bad.
They have the same scene, like they take the face off twice in it?
No, this robot changes, and I guess they ran out of animation budget, so they just show the same clip twice.
Yeah.
To show it transforming more, even though it's doing the exact same thing it did before.
It was awesome.
So
nobody would catch that.
No.
No.
Not around.
No, it's just the robot has a transforming stutter.
There you go.
Mm. So. Oh, okay.
But enough about bad movies and Mr. Winky.
All right, so Josh, you got something for us to start with today?
Yeah, we received an email, and you may have seen this on the big forums. A guy named Wendell has an iPhone app that he's written called iBodger. Now, Dave, you've actually seen this thing, is that correct?
I have. Actually, he sent us an email asking if we wanted to take a look at it, and unfortunately, none of us have an iPhone.
Right.
But Chad, one of the guys who we game with, one of the hosts of Fear the Boot, put it on his, and we were playing with it last or a couple of Sundays ago before a gaming session, and it seemed pretty slick. There were some limitations of the GUI simply because of the size of the screen on an iPhone, but you pick your models, build your list, and email it to you to an email account for printing.
That's right.
So it seemed pretty handy. Sure as hell more portable than carrying around a computer to run Tabletop Commander or Armies of Imran on.
Sure.
Is this something where you can save them, or do you just, it's one shot? You do it and send it off, and then you're done, and just, you know.
I want to say you could save it. I only made one list.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to mess too much with Chad's phone, but I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. I know in the thread that I was reading, the Wendell, he seemed pretty up on responding to people's concerns about it and making little fixes here and there when problems were found. So I imagine he's going to keep good maintenance on it. So if you have an iPhone and it's something you might want to take a look at it. It's called iBodger.
Yep. I know Chad sent back some feedback on stuff he saw.
Oh, good.
And I did talk to Chad and kind of ran through some things that I had issues with the GUI. And I'm pretty sure those got relayed too, because, you know, I didn't have an iPhone, so I couldn't test thoroughly. Right. But
yeah, and Chad's very proficient with that iPhone. He does it all the time. When we're playing, when we're recording, when you're talking to him, he's always fucking around with his iPhone.
Yeah, and it sounds like a really good option, because I know I've had a couple of friends with iPhones, and they try to use the internet to try to access one of the online army builders, and the convenience of having it on your phone would be really nice.
Yeah, especially like a lot of times I build lists ahead of time for tournaments, but not if I'm playing a friendly game.
Sure.
I might make something like at the table. I'm sitting there, you know, with my cards and a calculator, just kind of throwing stuff together. Something like iBodge or something on your phone that you could take with you would be quite handy.
Yeah, it might help you not put Epic Garrus in a 500-point list.
Yes. How about that, Dave?
I should not use iBodger then.
Let's get Dave and Tim both an iPhone so they don't do that again.
Okay.
Deal.
Done.
It'll be like iPhone. It's like an off. It's a, you know.
It's by Sanyo.
There you go.
It has candy inside it.
Awesome. It's Pocky, actually.
It's like Barbie's.
Yeah. Oh, I love Pocky.
Oh, man. All right, so moving on then.
Mm-hmm. Well, spring is almost here. Love is in the air, and so are cons.
yeah, it does seem like we're ramping up to a lot of big tournaments coming, and we all know how the summer goes with all the major hardcores around the nation, and playing a lot of tournaments.
Well, we've had one hardcore so far in TempleCon.
Mm-hmm.
In June, we're going to have one at DaiCon, and then I guess Gen Con is after that. But still, lots of other things around here.
Let's not forget Bayou Wars as well.
Bayou Wars as well. That's between DaiCon and Gen Con.
That's correct.
That's four hardcores in 1 year.
lot of hardcore. A lot of hardcoreness. And so we got hardcores coming up all over the place, and there's also tons of Steamroller 4 tournaments,
mm-hmm.
culminating at Nationals.
Right.
At Gen Con. We've also seen a lot of new models come out between the end of Legends and the beginning of Metamorphosis stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question that we could start with is, how do we expect the tournament scene to change in the up? Well, I guess it's already sort of changed, but mm-hmm. what do we expect different from last year?
Well, I mean, if TempleCon is any indicator, I mean, we heard, you know, on previous episodes that Immortal actually made quite the appearance as one of the epic warlocks straight out of Metamorphosis. So, I mean, just the inclusion of him without even any of the other new Hordes models was something great. Plus, I mean, some of the Legends models were already out, such as Idrian's, plus UA. They were making a big splash at hardcores a lot, as well as Steamroller tournaments with their ability to kind of control the table and get that alpha strike out if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's any indication, I know that, you know, a lot of the Legends character units and things like that are also helping out.
Yeah, I think stuff like the Black 13th is going to be big in Signar lists.
Absolutely. It's going to be, and especially because they are the strike team, you're going to see in an assassin format that they're probably going to be getting the job done.
And what about the character trios in general? Obviously, the Black 13th. Wither Shadow Combine, I think, is probably going to make it in most Crix lists.
I think if they center around Dark Seduction especially.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, even outside of that, they still have a strong role, I think. What do you guys think about Rovan and the Great Bears? Do you think they'll have such a strong showing?
I think Great Bears more than... are we talking hardcore or Steamroller in general?
Well, let's start with hardcore.
I think that in hardcore situation, probably the Great Bears are going to have a better showing or more showing than Rovan. Simply because they're offensive in nature. Mm-hmm. And the Underground is a little bit more defensive, denying spells, denying upkeeps and stuff like that, continuous effects.
Sure.
They're okay. I mean, they're decent in melee, but they can get bogged down by troops. They're not fast or anything like that. The Great Bears are, they're speedy, they hit like a ton of bricks, and they can murder a lot for their points.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the Great Bears have made me cry on many occasions mid-game. I mean, it's like they come out of nowhere. And there's really no way to stop them. And even in such an epic Vlad list where you can't use the Blood Legacy feat to assist them, they're still going to be, you know, a huge threat on their own. And I think, if anything, that may be assisting the epic Vlad player, creating a sort of, you know, center channel that they can push through.
Actually, I think it's a benefit to the epic Vlad player that he can't feed on, because in that case, it almost causes some players to dismiss them as, oh, he's not going to assassinate with the Great Bears because they're not going to get under the feet. Well, they don't necessarily need it.
Well, are they still not able to use, say, Transference and his other abilities?
They sure are.
Sure, they
so
can.
You don't need the feet necessarily. Yeah, because like you're saying, they're so potent at the begin with.
Right. I know, man. I mean,
and then they start using Focus.
Hand of Fate is going to be, you know, just another one of those spells on them that's just going to not be fun to face. But I mean, and not just Epic Vlad. I mean, imagine some of the other more popular warcasters, like Old Witch. I mean, they already have the ability to mitigate terrain, but you know, they're. Some things in Old Witch lists that you see is, you know, she has a lot of trickery, and with their threat range and her ability to lock you down for a turn, there's no reason why they can't get to where they want to be.
True.
Yeah, I think for all the reasons we've mentioned, I think they are much stronger than the bodyguard. I'm not as impressed with them in the hardcore format.
Well, I also want to say though, one thing that I've noticed about the guard that they have that ability to light things on fire, and I think that last year, if it's any indication, especially in the hardcore format, Ephiora was quite potent, and I can't imagine that they won't make their way into some lists, you know, parking themselves right behind some Idrians before shooting some of their larger, you know, jacks, or maybe some infantry that, you know, you won't kill, but it's still going to light them on fire, and then that's just more fire tokens for your feed turn.
Sure.
I mean, between the bonded the almost necessary bonded redeemer and that, I mean, there's going to be a quite a wildfire on the table.
I see what you did there with wildfire.
What do you think, Pat? What about Signar?
Well, as far as the Black 13th go?
Well, the hardcore in general. I mean, with all the new stuff coming out, do you see kind of like the hardcore, I guess, selections changing?
Well, what exactly was it before? What was the standard for Signar before in hardcore? Like Epic Haley?
Epic Haley. I'd say Darius. Actually was a really big one. I mean, when the hardcore format first came out, people were like, well, 7-minute turns, they didn't really think of a whole like wave format like we're seeing a lot of players play now with a lot of infantry where they attack in waves to get in their 7 minutes. They were thinking low model count, high output. Mm-hmm. Darius is the king of that.
Yeah.
And he definitely has, you know, we've seen him in every no quarter, you know, from Gen Con, seeing their hardcore lists either in the Master Craftsman or, you know, pulling up one of the other awards. I mean, he's very potent and he likes to, you know, shuffle the board around and Centurions are hard to take out. And, you know, on the topic of Legends things, Old Rowdy, something that I play with Darius exclusively always, he is definitely a force to be reckoned with on the table.
The only thing I might see that would change, I mean, sticking with that, the whole Jack format would be maybe, you know, Cray. I mean, he plays Jacks very differently than Darius does, but still plays Jacks nonetheless. And also gives you a little bit more chance to throw in some other things, you know, some infantry. You could throw in the Black 13th and it's, they would have a little bit better fit, I think, with a Cray than with a Darius. So, you know, Darius is just, he's not infantry friendly at all.
Cray, though, seems to me to really emphasize the range Jacks and the pick apart your army mobile playstyle, which isn't really the goal usually in hardcore. I mean, what is Cray going to use to kill you? I mean, I guess a feated heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you say, I guess feated heavy, but a 15-inch full tilted old rally charge with boosted attack rolls, mm-hmm. Ignoring everything and getting to change its facing, which he gets to do already, but, is going to be, you know, not fun for any warcaster. And like you said, the ability to pick apart the army. I mean, we've probably seen or heard of, like a Thunderhead, you know, pulsing all over everyone with boosted attack rolls, or a Sentinel, you know, going ahead and taking the core of a unit out. I mean, I agree that I think Cray could be viable. I'm not the biggest Cray user, but I'm also not a big gun guy, so I like to get in there and mess with my hands. And I've seen a lot of Cray used. I mean, he came out last year at Gen Con. I know we heard a couple people playing him. But I don't think he was, you know, well tested at that point. We had never seen anything about him before the book, which came out at the con. And, I think he'll be a definite option for the Signar forces.
Well, one of the two people who used Cray was Mark, and he did it almost as a goof because he was taking the all cavalry army with him. And so there's only one other person who used Cray, and I'm not sure how he did, but, like you're saying, we didn't see a good representation of him. We didn't know, at least at the time, what his full capabilities were. And now that we have all the new stuff coming out, we don't know how he fits in that context.
Absolutely. I also think that that little bugger, the Squire, is going to make quite the impact. I mean, Signar has definitely been known for their control area effects, and increasing it by 2 is definitely something that
is dumb.
I mean, we went ahead and said it.
Yeah.
Additionally, I mean, you know, Privateer Press spends a good time play testing their warcasters, especially to make sure that things don't come out that are that crazy, and you're really kind of setting them off a little bit by giving them access to additional focus for a turn. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I know when I've played Darius, 6 focus has seemed like, you know, okay, I have to maximize the 6 focus, but that 7th focus on like a Jackhammer Centurion, for example, that's already mm-hmm. auto hitting is most of the time, two more power 18s to the face.
Yep.
And that's a huge bonus. I think that guy is going to show up a lot.
Yeah. I've said before that is now an auto include in a Signar army along with the Journeyman Warcaster. I mean, it's,
yeah,
those two pieces are just going to be in there, and you're absolutely right. There are a fair number of situations or casters that I can think of that you sit there and think, man, if I just had one more focus, I could do this combination of things and it would be so much better. It would, you know, so yeah, and there you go. You've got that one more focus. So,
what about one more focus for Epic Kane to shoot someone with clarity?
Exactly.
If he's got Talon in his list. I don't think we saw that last year. I'm sorry. Yeah, wrong. Talon would be the mercenary Jack, not so much
Thorn.
But that could. I mean, that's another shot at a even higher POW under the feet. I think we're gonna see that too. The Epic Kane clarity assassination.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely on my list right now for possibilities in hardcore.
I'm not sure how much things actually change from the protectorate standpoint. Because like
other than Adrian's,
they were out last year though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean they're fantastic. I think Severius Adrian list is quite possible. Throw that in hardcore. I don't think Resnick is quite up to hardcore snuff.
And we could go ahead and toss out something, the last thing in Legends we haven't seen yet, which are those Bastions.
Yeah, true.
I mean, people like to play hardcore fast, but they're definitely someone who can, in an assassination format, pull that off, and additionally at a ridiculous power. You know, one hit from them can take out a light jack. I mean, when in the right situation. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a Protector player or two running those guys, especially sure. with the hype with them being plastic and things of that nature. And might I add, I don't know if you guys mentioned it last week, but they look great.
Yeah.
I thought that they looked a little too pinkish or purpley for me, but mm-hmm. sculpt-wise, I thought they looked good, I should say. I didn't like the size of the shoulder pads, but otherwise, I was pretty impressed.
Overall, they were very solid. I was disappointed with the gaudy gems on the leader's shoulder mm-hmm. and the streamer coming down from his weapon looked, well, plastic. But, I mean, everything else, they looked very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they look better than Manowar.
Yeah, and that's coming from you, Dave, who is, you know, very meticulous with his models and things like that. You know, someone like me who I care about my models, but, you know, we've seen them get broken and thrown across the table. You know, to me, they look fabulous, and I'm very impressed. And I think that Privateer, I think they pulled it off in at least a decent respect. I don't mm-hmm. think that we can disagree with that.
I kind of wish they would have kept us up to date a little more on what the status was, because there was a big lag there. But other than that, it sounds like they had whatever issues were happening resolved, and right now it seems like they're well on their way, or sort of on their way, for a plastic deluge.
Yep. But I mean, going back to hardcore a little bit, we did mention these guys. I don't know if it's too early to say how much they're going to be in hardcore or how effective they're going to be in hardcore, because they haven't seen competitive play yet.
There's somebody out there who's been testing them a lot, I bet, you know, practicing them. And so I think it wouldn't surprise me if somebody brought them to I don't even know when they're going to come out. Do we know when they're coming out?
We did. I forgot.
Let's say that if they don't come out too long before, say, let's say Daikon, you know, that's less than 3 months away, then if you're not used to playing against them, I've never seen them on the table. Well, that one time, but I would be surprised at whatever they do in general, just because I haven't played against them. So if somebody's practiced with them, having proxied them a while, then they could be, you know, it's one of the surprise things. If you don't know what it does on the table, then you're behind. And absolutely. Somebody might be able to use it to smash your face in.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen... I mean, I know they're not really expensive and they're not really cheap, but the Knights Exemplar, I've actually seen those in hardcore lists, quite successful ones. And, you know, those Bastions, you know, you could plop them in that slot, you know, maybe pay a little more for them, get a couple more. But I've seen it in a very effective Krios list that actually did very well at hardcore at TempleCon. And, you know, that's... You know, that's quite a hit for someone, especially if you manage to knock down whatever you want to attack and auto hit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The other cool thing is you can damage them yourself to power up their attacks. So if you camp someone like Iris behind them,
yeah,
you know, just kind of shoot them, do an extra point. Maybe Kel, he can put two points on him. Well, you know, you're guaranteeing you're not going to kill the guy, and you're just upping his power. So there could be some interesting tricks with them. You know, that speed, though, is could be huge. We'll put it that way.
I mean, people, you know, people have complained about Knight's Exemplar speed, and I understand why they complain about that. But what's funny is they actually, you know, with the reach, they're going to actually out threat range the KE on a regular charge.
That's true, but they also have to have more space to get their base up there, which is
very much true.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trade off. Yeah, but you know, reach is always good because you can poke past things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
so I will be very interested to see them in competitive events,
and I will too. And I know, and you know, it's one of those things. People are going to love them. I mean, the Exemplars have always been very powerful whenever they get used correctly. I don't think you can argue that. Mm-hmm. But in competitive play, we haven't seen them enough. But you know what? There are a lot of people who like to play with them, and I can't imagine it being any different with these new guys, especially being plastic. People wanting to show them off, mm-hmm. Get them out there on the table, and get in a fight.
I think the Protector are specifically the Exemplar army is also a beautiful army to field on the table. I think because they all the models, you know, there's a very consistent theme. You usually have, you know, like nice shining armor, very consistent across. And, you know, they take that one step further. Just another model you can use to build the solid, cohesive looking force.
Yeah. I mean, considering your other units are, essentially fanatics yeah. that are wrapped in cloaks and, right, right. Or like desert dwellers who have turbans and, yeah. wear like, you know, nothing and have this little gun. I mean, they definitely are beautiful models.
So What about Crooks, Josh?
There are a few things that we haven't seen and barely seen, I guess. You know, Cankerworm came out with Hardcore. Jason, you used the Cankerworm in your list.
You did? That's not what No Quarter said.
Well, yeah, okay, it's not in the list. So he's been out for a while, along with the Withershadow Combine. So we've seen what they can do, and, you know, they're pretty potent. They're pretty well covered. We haven't seen, like, the Blood Gorgers, for example, or Girl like Slaughterborn, for that matter. Of course, they work well together. Really, it's a weird kind of situation where the unit buffs the solo. But since they haven't been out for very long, we haven't really seen them on the table.
That's true.
They come out. Well, they're out now. They just came out this past month, or this month, I think, in March.
Yeah.
And so
Gurlak just came out, and the models were out a little bit before.
A little before. That's correct. They were around a month
but
ago.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
So I guess next con to see them might be at DICON. And so we'll see what happens there. I know we have a few people in St. Louis who use them. I've got them on the way. I'm going to use them eventually.
Jason, you went to the tournament this last weekend. Did anybody bring the
It's funny. The guy who really wanted to bring them, Stu, he actually didn't. He shied away, and he loves his mechanicals. Oh, okay. And for 500 points, they are quite a point sink. But at the 750 level, I can see it happening.
Okay, I was just curious to see if they had made it already in the St. Louis.
His Gurlak looks beautiful. You haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a nice model. And you know, it's funny. He actually used Gurlak.
He didn't
use a Blood Gorge. He used it as a solo, which I actually saw him kill some pretty heavy stuff with it. So
he's a beast by himself. Even
he is, and he got. I saw him once with. I think he ran around with 4 blood marks. Yeah.
I think without the trolls, he's less of a target, which gives him more of an opportunity to make those kills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked before in a previous episode about pairing him with, say, a Boker, so that's a good little tag team you can bring on there. Oh, but, like, man. You know, if you want to really take him to his maximum, you have to have the 2 full units of Blood Gorgers, which is prohibitively expensive dollar-wise and points-wise in the game. So I don't know how much we'll see them on the table just because outside the game that it still costs people a lot to put them on there.
Yeah,
sure. Much less in Hardcore where it's a lot of metal. You got to paint, metal. You have to paint. Almost said plastic, but that was my pipe dream because they are so expensive. But.
We had that conversation yesterday, and I was like, "Oh man, I hope those Fen blades coming out are plastic because if they are, I'll pick up 2 boxes right off the bat."
Sure.
You know they do look great. I mean, we've seen a couple of them around St. Louis, and I've seen a couple through the. Through the forums and the modeling and miniatures, and they're very good looking, and I've seen them be very potent. I mean, all you need is a couple blood marks to get them speed 7 weapon masters.
You need to prime them, so to speak, with just a couple, and then they just sort of carry through on their own momentum after that.
Only enemy models? Can they prime themselves?
Yeah, it has to be enemy models. Because oh my god, that would be so awesome.
Steelhead halberdiers. Oh look,
Sea dogs,
right?
They cleave right through them. And, hey, you know I'm awesome now. Jackwise, let's talk about the Cankerworm. We have Nightmare now. I think he was out before a TempleCon, I think. I don't know how much time he's seen on the table.
Oh, man, the triple unique Morton Eberlist.
See, I wouldn't even take necessarily the Death Jack along with it.
It's just another threat. If Nightmare goes down.
I think the Death Jack is awesome sauce and everything, but I think Nightmare is a little more subtle than the Death Jack is, especially with its whole, it's Prey. I can't remember what it's actually called. But he's so mobile, moving, you know, once on your turn, once on my turn, and so on. And
yeah, but Death Ray seems 3 times.
Sure, absolutely. And if I were to take 2 jacks, I would take Cankerworm and Nightmare. If I took 3, I might take the Death Jack. But definitely, I would be interested in seeing how much he overshadows the Death Jack in the meta.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I used him the other day. I was playing a 500-point game, and we all know that the Gorshade Death Jack combo is quite amazing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, it's gonna give me a little more points in my list to run Nightmare. So I ran him, and he did the job with running Soul Hunters with Derek and Bane Knights. He couldn't take them all out, mm-hmm. and one got behind Kruger, and there goes Kruger.
Because you only need the one.
That's what Stubbs ran at the Hardcore TempleCon. He did. Talked about that in the list when he called in.
I think he had Black Banes, which is just another Soul Gate fodder trooper out there.
When, that's course, something else that's going to change.
True.
Yep. Black Banes made Gorshade
that much better
in the assassin environment.
And with Nightmare, if you get a backstrike, then he's essentially better than the Death Jacket hitting if you have the Caster Parade, right?
And plus, if you're, I mean, I had an experience which I could have still done with the Death Jack, but if you are running Soul Hunters, you know, they do ignore the free strike. So if you want to run them up in their face, or if you want to create 2 flanks and make them choose the mm-hmm. Bane Knights or the Black Banes or the, you know, Soul Hunters, I got them around, and having the reach was nice because he has reach. I couldn't hit. Yes, I couldn't hit. I actually didn't get it all the way in there because I wanted to make sure I was in the back arc and I didn't want to fiddle with a question. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get my Tusk attack. Or does he? No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
He has Tusk. Yeah.
He does. Oh yeah. Never mind. He does. And But, you know, the two POWs, MAT 11, POW 17s in their back was quite ferocious.
And if you have a Gorshade there, I know you typically don't like to take Scarlocks on a larger list, but he's a free +2 damage. You just cast Darkstride on the Jack before you port him over. So that makes him pretty much what a Death Jack is. And in the back, you probably don't even need a boost.
I will say, though, we were talking about the three unique more neighbor list. The Death Jack with Spectral Steel is horrible to face. I will run him into the face of the army, and it will be almost impossible to kill him most of the time. I mean, a lot of the small infantry, I can necrovent Death Race out of it, like to stick myself in the back so I can't get charged by one wound infantry, or, I mean, just moving him through buildings. I mean, ever since I first saw that trick explored, I mean, it was love at first sight. I ran into the face of Wold Wardens before with him and just laughed at them as they try to hurt him. Yeah, they hurt him a little bit, but I eventually get up, heal myself a little. I think I actually had one arm once, gained my arm back, and then just started pounding on him. And it was quite amazing. And I just don't think Nightmare does have that durability.
That's true, he doesn't. But I mean, like you're saying with Ghostly and the Death Jack with Spectral Steel, you got another Ghostly Jack on the other side too with Nightmare. It's just the parody there is kind of strange.
I guess from the Legion perspective of where I'm trying to kill you by overwhelming you with threats before you can react to all of them, I just see that the Death Jack and Nightmare is doing that, especially with Cankerworm too. I mean, still, especially if you get something corroded, that the Cankerworm is nothing to sneeze at. And if he's in the list with those two other heavies, he gets less attention. Because it's like, oh my god, Death Jack, oh my god, Nightmare, oh, Cankerworm to the face.
Right.
Or the exact opposite, because I know that I've AD'd him and put him in someone's face, and like, I gotta kill that Cankerworm. He's gonna get me.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, there's a Death Jack and Nightmare behind him, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, that's the problem with the new Crixos, especially against Hordes where all those beasts are living with Mort Nebra, is that...
Huge charge.
You have to worry about everything. And it's just... That's a downfall in Hardcore.
And yeah, Mort Nebra came, I believe, May last year, so before the con season, but wasn't really well represented at Gen Con, and I can imagine her getting a little more attention. I think that people – it's really weird. I don't really get it, but as I hear Crix players talk, or just players in general, they love the Crix Warcasters a little bit more than I hear. Like people – I really don't hear like people – like falling for like the Protectorate Warcasters, for example, but people like, they're like, oh, Gorshade is my favorite character. And like, and then people are now like, I've heard a lot of people saying how much they love Mort and how much they just enjoy her. And it's just fun. And it's something new that Crix never had. So people, like I said, fall in love a little bit with these people and that's going to get them playing more.
That could be the key right there. It's something new that we never had.
Yeah.
The Protectorate hasn't really gotten a new style Warcaster in quite some time. We're getting more of the same or more of the same differently, but we're not getting like a Mort Nebra, which, yeah, we have Amon and Resnik, but they're not Jackcasters on the scale of Mort Nebra.
Yeah. I mean, Amon certainly can be, but I mean, he's just had a rough go at it. And, you know, maybe, I know we have a few players around the nation that love him, but he doesn't always get the respect that he needs, and maybe Mark II will change that. But
I was about to say, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about Mark II and how that's going to affect what we're talking about today.
Yeah, we have a ton of topics on our forum.
We do.
We were perusing, like, oh, what can we talk about that people have heard? It's like, okay, well, that's going to devolve into a Mark II discussion. That one's going to devolve into a Mark II discussion. You know, and, well, that one's going to be irrelevant in 2 weeks. We kind of... Yeah.
So, well, hopefully we'll know more next month, obviously. But, you know, we're talking about these Jackcasters. I'm hoping, for one, that they don't change them too much, because I do like the feel of Mort. I like the feel of, you know, whoever. We're hoping that guys like Karchev and Amon will get a little bit better and represent that style of play a little bit better. Won't know until April.
If they're going to give Matt a Matt bonus to Jacks across the board, Mort Nebra's going to be even dumber.
Yeah, so and Darius. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. I hope that Amon gets tweaked enough that he's on the same page, because conceptually he's really cool. He just comes up a little bit short.
It's just a little bit short too. It's like, wow, you know what he can do with a stupid amount of like dervishes or devouts, and all of a sudden they're hitting it like POW 20, and you're like, oh my gosh. But they just end up that much shorter.
Like everything else in the Protector Army, you have to do things in the right order, and everything has to be successful up until the point for the big explosion that kills everything. And that's kind of the problem with Amon. He's squishy enough that if you don't get up to the end when you can get off the big explosion, he's going to die in the next turn.
Yeah, but if fluff means anything, that Protector explosion is pretty huge.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we saw how they pretty much need the Harbinger's help to kill Kilboil. So, a little fluff perspective in there.
Yeah.
Fluff is not rules, jeez.
We talked about War Machine a lot, but mm-hmm. we have also got the first half of models from Metamorphosis.
That's right, just came out.
For Hordes. And we already hit on the big one. Morgul is going to have a huge impact. That man is showing up at Hardcore. There's no denying it.
That's right.
There's no denying it. He's also showing up behind your Warcaster with a knife in the back.
Couple of extolers, too.
Yeah, with a couple of decks. Oh.
And that's really the thing. The extolers
yeah, are you know, sick. He was good, and then we saw the stats for the extoler.
And Sorcia became went, disgusting. Oh, I can't have an extoler.
Frankenstein.
Oh, I can't have my extolers back is what she was
saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, see, I agree with you. It is amazing. But him on his – I personally don't think he needs the extoler. I think that epic Morgulus can be just as good because he will kill you. He will find you, and he will hunt you
down. The problem is it's easy to protect yourself without the extoler.
Yeah.
It's true.
And that's the key. And, yeah, absolutely. If he can get to you even without it, you're going down. But it just – it makes his feet able to nerf you and set himself up that much easier.
Oh, but, man, I mean, the things that I can see happening soon with this whole especially the inclusion of Radim, the Ferax with Epic Morgul are just going to be a terror. They're going to eat through your front lines, and then the back lines eat through your Ferax, then you feed on them, and that's everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, he doesn't need too much help killing your Warcaster, depending on who it is. He likes the mid-rangers. You know, he would love to go up against like an Eresk, say, a 15-15, where he doesn't have to stretch on armor, and he doesn't have to stretch on defense. So yep. I mean he's and a lot of the hardcore Warcasters seem to be around that area. It's you don't, barring Darius, correct me if I'm mistaken, I just don't see a lot of the high armors, which is usually what he has the biggest problem with.
I think that what you're gonna see is like arcane shield on a warlock, or like protection Minoth and Kryas. I think that's about the highest you can get, because you can't count focus into the mix because yeah.
Entropy,
because Epic Morgul can ignore it by Spin and Fury Point. So I think those are the biggest armors you can get normally.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And even then, it's like, okay, so Haley has Arcane Shield on her. She's armor 17. Well, boosted, if you can hit two boosteds, that's going to kill her.
16 points right there.
Yeah.
And I was going to say Karchev popped in my head, but then I realized nobody's going to be playing Karchev in Hardcore.
Someone may, but so. At that point, I think Epic Morgul, his army is going to be able to do what he needs to do. I think that he has the ability between praying mm-hmm. someone and then setting them in at Karchev. That's going to help out a lot. I mean, that plus two to hit and damage is going to hurt with some of those scorned troops, especially the likes of, Radim. You know, finding Karchev, half armor. Hello.
You know what Karchev is going to have, though? He's going to have himself a war dog. That's something we actually didn't really mention. Kato, the war dog is going to start showing up a lot, I think.
Underrated. I mean, I know we got a couple guys here who just love them, and they're just so hilarious looking.
Mm-hmm.
But underrated. I mean, we've been hearing so much about the Squire. I feel like the other two Warcaster attachments are shadowed. But then again, we always see that Hero Fan on the table for Protectorate. Really great model as well. But then there's the lowly war dog, and I think that it's not lowly. I mean, I've had it kill and countercharge and kill like Bane Knights and stuff, and mm-hmm. And me missing it. And I know how much I've always had trouble with Laris tagging along with Epikeia.
Yeah.
The war dog is just another has that guard dog ability, which is really gross.
Yeah, that for Kaya, especially, or Epikeia, that really puts her above, you know, she's 16 normally, makes her an 18, which that's just that's past the curve on difficult to hit in a lot of cases.
The way I look at it is, you know, Squire and the Hierophant, they make the war caster cool. Mm-hmm. You cast more spells, cast spells further, you can feed, you can cover more area. Even the Scarlock's kind of the same way, the unofficial warlock attachment, because it's free spells. Your war caster can do more things.
Right.
The War Dog is a completely different take. It is a defensive modification, more or less. It has abilities that it can do. They're completely, really independent from your Warcaster.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still cool, and that's people don't see it as much because they don't see, oh, well, it doesn't make Sorcia that much cooler. It's like, well, one, she's defense 22, and two, there's a free countercharge taking out the first thing that gets to her. That makes Sorcia cooler.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
not necessarily, it's also screening her.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she might be 20, well, depending, but it's still, it's just heinous.
Sure.
Yeah, and I know I actually heard someone, I believe they said that you Vlad feeded on the War Dog.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's pretty gross. I mean, it hurts. It's not too shabby. And then it still comes around on their turn countercharging you.
Yes, it does.
So that's cool because you can reel back.
So that's, I don't know how the dog got royal blood in it. Maybe I don't want to ask.
But. Well, we already know how Cora feels about their horses. I guess I guess it extends to their canines as well.
But I mean, sticking on the Scorn topic, I've said a few times, but I just can't get this Redeem guy out of my head. He's
going to be awful.
Awful. Mm-hmm. Just awful. And as a troll player, the fact that he pierces everything he attacks.
Well, just on the charge.
I'm going to take that, everything. Well, but I'm gonna take that damn pike and tie it to Mangelis' tail so I get the free thrust on the charge.
You do get a free thrust.
If I'm prevented from doing special attacks.
Okay, sure.
Hey, that's fine as long as I can...
have my wings?
No, as long as I can have a Ferox strapped to the Earthborn's back so I get pow plus strength 24s.
And have your Earthborn leap.
Yeah. Well, no, he just needs the big... Because he adapts, so he's going to have like a giant bite face... claw.
He's Voltron, essentially.
Exactly. Voltron. And
I'll form the head.
Just do it at the beginning of the stupid episode and beat the monster. Done.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Have you seen Voltron get served?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a robot chicken animation short?
Yeah.
I will link it in the show notes.
In the newts? Okay. In Canada now?
The newts. We totally need some gestalts in this game, now that you mention it. I'm all in favor of that.
Combine a Tronation. You know, they're going to have them in Monster Apocalypse now.
There.
Cool.
Kind of tangent. We don't really talk about that game much, but they're actually that's going to be in Wave 3.
It's going to be in All Your Base.
That's right. The expansion is called All Your Base.
I didn't even hear that. That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, so God. It's a man that I mean. Sorry to sidetrack, but that game it's gonna be horrible because I've already trailed off from the first set, but then all of a sudden the second set's gonna come back and I'll be into it. And then I'll trail off. And then the third set, that collectible wave. Yeah,
they know what they're doing. They've got you in their grip.
They do. Oh my gosh.
So I'm tired of hearing about Scorn. They've got some dumb stuff. We'll leave it at that. They have a lot of tools they're going to be bringing to the table. I think.
I don't think there's anything you can't say from meta that's not going to be shown. I mean, yeah. Even people, it's like hard to say what the worst thing is. I'm a big fan of Mordekaiser. He's going to be.
Will he be out by Hardcore?
We don't know. We don't know.
Could be.
He could be. Also, it could be a Gen Con release.
Could be.
So,
yeah, because we still don't know what they're doing for Gen Con. They might do a huge wave out then.
Hardcore is that Saturday, usually. Mm-hmm. And people, I saw the Painted Cray for Hardcore. Sure. Mm-hmm. I saw Painted Cankerworms. I mean, I saw a lot of stuff there. So, you know, to rule that out, for someone to beta it,
right.
It's definitely a possibility.
You know, when you say Emorgul, the first thing obviously we think of is his feet of blinding, and that makes me think of Mosar the Desert Walker, who cannot be blinded. And my concern is that, well, not a big concern for me, I'm wondering if people are going to take that just as a guard against him.
No, because Epic Morgul is going to walk up to Mosar and just kill him.
How's he going to get close to Mosar?
He's going to teleport up there, and he's going to murder him.
Yeah, but you know how far he can move, and so you're not going to get that close. And then you're going to be defeated if you need to get up there. You're but right. I still don't. But Mosar is still going to have difficulty taking him down anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if people are going to take that as a mistake and then lose against Emorgul.
That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
I think the problem with Mosar is he's between Pillars of Salt and some of the other stuff he does, he's very defensive in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Can't play defensive at Hardcore.
That's true.
But either you kill the caster or you lose.
Right. I mean, this episode kind of evolved into a Hardcore. I think we also had the idea of Steamroller 4, where I think that he's going to shine.
Absolutely.
I was having a conversation with my my good Circle player friend, and I said, I think Mosar is going to be a 500-point caster in many Circle SR4 lists, because he just controls it. He may even control it better than Balder. And I think that if people get into the groove with Mosar, it's gonna be quite a pain in the butt to get to the places you need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a few examples. Just blocking someone in where you know that's what they need to do is pretty hilarious.
Given that the Pillars of Salt are structures and usually don't have a ranged attack with a high enough pal to take him out, means you're either wasting a melee attack to destroy it or you're expending focus usually on a magic attack to destroy him.
Yeah.
Either way, you're making your opponent do something they probably don't want to do.
I foresee the same kind of thing that I love doing with regular Horlock, which is cast the spell. Oh man, I don't want to misquote it. I believe it's called Vexation. I choose if you go first or last.
Right.
And that same kind of thing is going to happen because you're going to have a front line. It's going to have to kill the Pillar of Salt. And then everything can't get through the front line unless you can move through the models, which is rare.
So then you might have to reposition something to somewhere you don't want it to be just to let something else come through.
Exactly.
So it's a screwing with your opponent's mind. You expect this Pillar of Salt to disappear, but because your opponent has to do something, has to expend some resource to get rid of them.
And how horrible is it going to be when you biff your rolls?
There you go.
It's like, oh man, I need an 18. I need like a 5 to kill the 18 with my, like, you know, power 14. It's like, oh, there that goes. Yeah. And the circle's just positioning itself better for you. We're gonna see him. And then Ikea, as far as hardcore, yep. she was out last year, but she didn't make a big splash. I think that people are getting very comfortable with her,
especially with the Shadowhorn comes out.
Yeah, I think she's gonna be phenomenal. I can see her as a contender. I think
that cheap two handed throwing heavy that jumps is. Yep. Almost killed Thagrosh.
Mm-hmm. I actually want to say it's the best beast that came out of that book. Just for what it is, for what it costs. I love those.
I'd say most point efficient, without a doubt.
I love those uniques. Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, that's what I mean by best. Obviously, I don't think it can go take on like one of like Typhon or something like that. But
it could throw him away.
It could. And if Typhon charges him and misses, he's on his butt. Yeah. So, at the same time, I mean, 94 points, am I right?
Yep, 94.
Jeez, that was just great.
I'll trade that 1 point to upgrade my Crusader to a Shadowhorn any day.
Well, I used to think the 105 point, I think Gnarlhorn was great. Oh my god, 105 points, and now we have the same Fury for 9 points, yeah, or 11 points less.
I know, and you have the Gorax, so, which is 54 as well.
Yeah, something like that.
So you're,
but yeah, he's also 4, but not a heavy.
I know, but I'm saying your ability to pay a lot less for a lot more Fury is
absolutely, yeah,
is very helpful.
And giving how maneuverable he is, like we saw, he's one of those key positioning pieces. I love him. Gonna have two, Dave.
I bet.
And I also think that some circle hardcore lists. I see a lot of wolves. I think they're very devastating, and Morrig is probably just gonna help that.
Yep. Yeah. How can he hurt?
Yeah. How can he hurt? And he's gonna be. He hits remarkably hard for a circle. I mean, mm-hmm, that's power 14 isn't anything bad at all, and he comes out of nowhere. So. Yep.
And given the center stones putting force wherever you want to have everything stealthy, if you don't have AoEs on the other side of the table, you have no losses on the way up the field.
And even then, I mean,
he's hardcore as well. Oh, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
He's not going to die. He's armor 17. Mm-hmm. AoEs aren't going to hurt him, so right, he's going to be great. He's just going to be hanging out, doing whatever he wants until he gets charged. And then even then, is he defense 13 or 14? I can't remember.
He has Derek Gray's stats, so he's 14.
14. Wow. That is great.
I should say he has a defense and armor of Derek Gray, I believe.
What were you just about to say about the Tharn?
I was thinking about the Tharn armies and hardcore between the three different Tharn units you can take now.
Including Kruger.
Especially with Epic Kruger. I'm still not sold on Epic Kruger being like a better warlock, mm-hmm, but I think in hardcore some of his manipulation he can do on top of giving the Ravagers Leap and their Elite Cadre, which makes him hit much more often. Mm-hmm. That brings him up to what, 8 sevens?
They're up to sevens normally. Or yeah, the non-leaders will be sevens.
Yeah, that's very good, especially with some white mains in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm not sold though on the whole jump thing. It's cool, and I can imagine it being great in sometimes, but I just think that they're awesome on the charge. That's what they do. They charge, and the mat's going to help. It'll help you hit bigger or higher defense targets. But what are you, a 9 on the charge? If you have something helping you out, you know, that's a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I agree. Jump is not something that you would use, say, every turn, because exactly, obviously you get more distance if you do other things. But
you wouldn't do it instead of charging in any case. I mean, yeah, you can charge, always.
But, of course, yeah, once they get – they do seem kind of like cavalry models where on the charge they're very effective, mm-hmm, and then they kind of get stuck in. They just kind of die. They kind of wallow away, and that's going to really help them, you know, with some effectiveness as far as jumping over the models and then having – maybe the army has to turn around to go fight them.
It also lets you swap lines. If you survive a counter charge, then you can leap over your back line who can then charge in ahead.
Yeah.
If that works for you.
That'd be cool.
But it's more maneuverability. It's more moving, and there's nothing bad about that.
Nope.
Nope.
What about the Legion?
I don't know. What about the Legion?
Epic little shenanigans. Incubi, Striders, Archers.
Hellion.
If the Hellion's out, then my biggest concern about the Hellion... it's just Flannis is having a stroke here, is, you know, it drops its auto point pie plate. It has an AoE that it can place down completely within 8 inches of herself, mm-hmm, and any model in it, if they get directly hit, they take a point of damage. Mm-hmm. If you don't break armor.
Right.
So you can plink away with a ton of Striders under our archers under Epic Lil's feet.
Striders.
Both. Yeah. The only problem is the 7 minute time limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that if that's what you're going for, it's there. I don't think it's not going to be there. Especially if you're using archers, they have arcing fire. Mm-hmm. This isn't a hard thing to set up. You just roll your dice fast and you just say, you know, I think at that point you might say, I'm not going to even use my poison arrows. I'm just going to roll to see if I hit each one and I will give you the point.
You can't though.
Well, I mean, you have to roll damage
because your opponent has the option of transferring if it's higher than one.
Well, you roll your damage, but most of the time it's not going to be, I mean, if you're hitting at that point, it's not going to be like...
I mean, they're POG 10s. Warlocks are usually around 15, 16 range.
Yeah, and hardcore, you're rolling probably both die at the same time at that point to speed up yourself, so...
So, yeah, it's going to be very mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think the time is going to be its biggest weakness. Well, that and the fact that it has no real melee contingency other than Incubi.
Well, also, let's go ahead and say that she's going to be showing her face in that popular Saren list for those plus two mat for the
Angelus.
For the Angels. Yep. It's going to be very nice.
Mm-hmm. It's not gonna and a free charger ain't bad either.
And heck, I mean, even Wind Ravager, where you can't make range attacks, sacrifice her. Just go up, put her up there, shove stuff in their face, and maybe they can shoot her down. But they can't. Or maybe they can take her down, but they can't shoot her down. So they got to get up on her. If you have stuff in front of them, especially things that have Incubi coming out of them, they're not gonna be able to get to her.
Well, I think a lot of stuff has a lot longer range. Like, I would be very hesitant to do that against someone like Pat, because I mean, what's the range on all your gunmen? 12, 14?
10. 10 for trainers, 14 for long gunners.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they're just gonna sit outside and blinker.
But I mean, Epic Kane, you pop that up right in front of your Warcaster. He has to get a good angle to be able to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she's 5 inches in front, she's got a large base. That's 7 plus that 8. That's a decent chunk of the board that you're denying to like someone like Epic Kane.
Unless Ayana makes his guns magic attacks.
Yeah,
sure. Unless Kevin changes the wording on it again. I mean,
he can actually do that himself. He can with thing. Yeah. But that's also focus. That's also expenditure of Ayana. Is Ayana alive? These are questions. She is. She's like, oh, she goes invisible. Legion beasts don't care. So, right. I mean, this is the trade off that we have with those things. So
I think Legion got some good stuff. I think that Legion was always good, especially in hardcore, because they could go in and assassinate and tons of shredders transfer to stave off an assassination.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they – I wouldn't say they got the most, but I wouldn't say what they got was bad.
Yeah, Legion – I personally think Legion got an interesting book. I'm interested to see how it affects it. I feel like Legion has core pieces that are just never going to go away. You're never going to lose the Shredder. You're never – at this point, you're never going to lose the Angel. It's just never going to –
The Seraph?
The Seraph. You're never going to lose that. It's always going to be
something even more gross, which wouldn't be
good. Yeah, who wants to see that?
Right. Yeah, but I mean, more gross. I mean, they came out with Typhon. That's got a lot of stuff. But at the same time, I just
think limitations as well.
It's not going to – yeah, he's got a lot. He doesn't really have limitations, but comparatively, he has lots of limitations.
Sure, relatively speaking.
Absolutely.
Which is ridiculous because, I mean, to give that to any other faction, they're like doing a Texas two-step.
Right.
But you know, for them, I mean, the Angel – same point slot, maybe he even costs more. So,
but yeah, I'll be interested in seeing how much the Legion actually changes, because we've been seeing the Epic Lilith shenanigans list for a while now,
mm-hmm.
because all of the components have basically been out. So by the time Gen Con rolls around, that's not really going to be new. I mean, right. It was new compared to last Gen Con, but it's not going to be new for anybody who's seen it before. I'll be interested to see if late summer Gen Con releases change things at the last minute.
Was the War Chief and what you termed the Iron Chef out at the time last year?
No.
I don't think it was.
No, the War Chief came out the end of the last year. That's going to be something you're going to see in Hardcore, and I think you'll see it in Steamroller 4. I think that
it's a mistake at Hardcore.
Because of how long it takes.
No, because of the lack of way to get around rough terrain. Your entire assassination attempt is melee-based. And if you either fight against things that are tough and you can't hop around or you can't charge over rough terrain, your entire assassination plan is hosed.
It's true.
It's very much true. It's extremely effective. We actually had a discussion about this on our forums. Someone was asking what it is, and we were kind of explaining it and talked about the limitations. It's really good in the one situation that's not nerfed.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, I think that in the Steamroller 4 format, Ryas has an interesting form of board control that I've actually had a conversation with someone about. She's just – I think her board control is being scared of the things that she has at her disposal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. I think about it, and it's what her feet can do plus some select animi plus some select models is going to be a scary thing to try to press. And in Steamroller 4, you're trying to press that mosh pit, but you're trying to hold those points. You're trying to, you know, get across the line, break the line. I mean, those things are important, and the Legion models can get around that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So I think that pretty much covers Legion. I guess we are down to the trolls.
What do you think? You've been playing Epic Horla quite a bit.
I have, and I do love him so much. He was always that guy. He was like the kid that got picked on in school, and you just wanted to see him like go to college and come back to the 10-year reunion and be awesome. And there he is. I mean, I think Epic Horluck is awesome. He is.
He's back with his supermodel girlfriend and his Corvette, and he's showing him
the former. Mulg is an ugly, ugly supermodel.
That's true.
But Calandra. Definitely a supermodel girl.
She's beefy.
Hey, he likes his ladies big. No, but seriously though, he is really awesome. I've had a couple runs with him. I know that there's a lot of things that I want from this book to make him optimal. I saw him pull wins out of thin air with my recent playing with him, and my last game with him, I did lose, but I definitely thought of some things that I can improve, for the first time in my life, I think being aggressive was bad for me. So it was a very interesting game, he's just awesome. His ability to move your models around is insane. No more will trolls be so locked into their buffing of threat ranges. What he's doing is even changing that, because it's not just your threat range, it's things after the threat range, especially with Mulg between Goad, which is he can force a beast in his control area to move 2 inches after destroying an enemy model, or Dire Troll, to move 2 inches after destroying an enemy model. Or no, I think it's not even enemy. I believe it's just I believe it is just model. It is enemy model. Things like, are you going to eat that with Mulg? It's going to be awesome. I haven't even used Mulg with him yet, and I'm just so excited.
Awesome ability name.
Yeah, it is. Also, we saw, I was running Bone Grinders in my list actually, and Mob Mentality is a spell that when target enemy model is hit.
I saw you do this one time.
One friendly Trollblood model unit in Doomshaper's control area may move up to 2 inches. They can't end their movement farther than the people or than the target you're hitting, and you have to be in formation. But oh my gosh, if you can, I think I shot it 3 times and I hit twice, and I moved my entire cav unit 4 inches.
I saw that when you were doing it. That was just hilarious. The cav's like, oh, I'm going to move up, and I'm going to move up again. Oh, look, charge range.
Yeah, and I mean, I was already in charge range of some things, but now they were all in charge range of something. Mm-hmm. And the only reason, my leader, it was a full cav unit, and my leader didn't get a charge only because I filled up all the space. There was too much cav in the way, I almost killed a cannoneer, I believe, and it was very effective. It was really cool. People look at him and have said that he's not helping his army, but that spell definitely does that. And additionally, one more that is an interesting way of thinking that he helps his troops is the spell Agitation, where he places fury points on enemy war beasts. It's really limiting their effective power next turn. Mm-hmm. And with trolls being tough, it's usually that additional attack to dig out of a troll that's going to, make or break. And one fury is one attack on a beast, and that's and that may be all it takes.
Well, kind of the obvious application of that, I guess, is to fill up the enemy beast before you go into Wail on the Warlock.
Yep.
I mean, if your shredders are all in range and he says, you're full again, oh, okay, now you can't transfer, I win.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I plan on doing in the future. And
that's how I've always been using Saren, with like Equilibrium.
Oh, yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Totally screwed me the other day. I did roll a 10 to bust my threshold check. It was not fun.
At least that the Legion has Shepherds, I will say, to get around this. And it's one of the things, the Shepherd can be a much bigger deal to bring against Trolls when Epic Quillux is on the table. Because, yeah, he can leave Fury on there, but you put one more on, let's say, a Carnivian.
Yep.
And I leech and it's down to one. That Carnivian's probably going to make that threshold check. I could choose to fail it and frenzy it on a specific target, basically getting far more out of it than I lost by having the extra fury.
Absolutely. Your efficiency is great. But as we did state not a couple minutes ago, the Angelius is the premier Legion Warbeast, and it is a bad thing to have frenzy.
Absolutely.
So you're not going to make it choose to fail. And if you do end up busting, that is a huge waste of a bottle.
You know, if you're not going against a medium or large base, it might almost be worth it to go ahead and charge in Jelly Sin on the Warlock or something, depending on what their status is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It is, but it's even, okay, even if you take that hit, it's not thrust. And against trolls, which we're talking about, you want that thrust.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about trolls anyway. They're all large bases.
So
yeah,
that, that one is going to be, is going to be very important for us. I mean, and not just, Epic Warlock. I know that he has been out for a while, but Epic Madrak, I think, actually will see a splash in the hardcore scene, especially when some of these new units come out, especially the Fenblades. They will be able to mow down troops on his feat turn. And, I think that's going to be a humongous swing that we never really had. I know I've taken out entire units of Temple Flame Guard with, and some other key solos with my Buffalo, just running them and then feeding on them, and they just mow them all down like a lawnmower.
I think one of the big problems is going to be, he's just, because guys die for him, it's going to be hard to kill him in the hardcore format.
That too. Those couple of key things are not going to work. You're not going to be able to get the Widowmaker Evil Ed feed on him. It's just not going to work. It's already hard enough on Hordes, Warlocks, but him, he's probably the hardest. Mm-hmm. I will say on the inverse, a Widowmaker is, I hate seeing them because you just auto point him, and if the guy is around him, he will die. So, that is tough, but he's great. And then additionally, something I said about Mosar earlier, great 500 point caster. Kalandra additionally is a wonderful addition to the trolls at 500 points.
Yeah.
She will keep your army around. And when you pay that many points for the models as trolls do, it's very, very helpful.
She's casting reverse signs importance half of it every turn.
Yep. And additionally, I've always made complaints about the trolls' lack of ability to buff their beasts on attack rolls. And, we do great things for our troops, but never on our beasts. And she can spend a fury on her to reroll attack rolls. And that's going to be big. I know I've had a few key Earthborn misses and most likely no longer that will happen.
Is the Earthborn a 5 or 6 mat?
Six.
Six, okay.
Yeah.
Even though that 6 is often not enough to get you. It's great.
Yeah.
Relative to the 5, like a Dire Troll or something might have, but. Yeah, exactly. That 6 is a,
And if you're going for the above average roll, if you need it, if you need to hit like a 17,
yeah,
you know, the rerolls, it will most likely help you out in the end. I mean, that's very good.
Especially when a reroll, you know, it counts all the dice. So you boost, even if you miss, you still get another chance with that extra die.
Yeah.
By that time you roll a 7 with 3 dice and you need the 8.
And I said, I said Fenblades in the competitive meta, and I truly do believe that they are going to be great. But one thing that I think is going to really help trolls are the whelps. They are just going to, man, I've gotten messed up on, threshold checks or not having, not wanting, like losing my spirit, not being able to regenerate, but I don't want to activate my Warcaster. Mm-hmm. That whelp is just going to save my life. I don't doubt it. And, I think that's going to be a staple on a lot of troll lists. And, as far as the competitive scene is concerned, they have a command, so they can hold points. They, will be annoying. I don't doubt I will hold one behind on like a scenario that you play long ways on the board, like,
divide and conquer or process elimination.
Process elimination. Just put one right in front of my deployment zone. Done. He's totally worth the 4 points. I've done that with Incubi.
The command is one. Don't the rules typically say you have to have a command?
Oh, yeah. It's greater than one now.
Oh, is it greater than one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well then boo. Still, it's going to be wonderful. And, it'll be really fun to see him play. And I just know that they're going to do great things.
Yep.
So. It is greater than one. I forgot. I thought it just had a have command. Cool.
They're still great getting the way pieces, though. I mean, obviously they help you, but, you know, not only making my attack rolls down, you block charge lanes and all sorts of weird things that you can with a little throwaway model, essentially.
They're going to be annoying, and I play a pretty annoying game, so they're going to definitely help me out.
Are you saying that Hordes is annoying?
No.
You don't like Hordes?
I think he's doing another pun by using the ability name.
Oh, I see. I don't see what you did
not
there.
Not just pun. I mean, I actually do play like a game that I tend to try to frustrate my opponent and hence allowing me to win. That's why, one of the reasons I love trolls and I love Crix, because I think that they both have abilities that, you know, whether it's a debuff from Crix or a random tough roll from trolls, getting players off their game, the psychology of the game is something I rely greatly on when I play.
What do you think of the Rune Shapers?
The Rune Shapers are cool. I'm not head over heels about them. But I think that they're going to be something that I play, and that they're going to be better when I play them. I think that we look at them and people kind of judge them a little bit, but they're only 38 points.
For the like scenario play though, what do you think about that?
Oh, for yeah, especially for scenario play, holding points, they're going to be very good at that. Trolls don't really have a lot of high defense, and defense 16 is going to be a tough nut to crack.
Mm-hmm.
Without AoEs, that's not really going to be good. And with the trolls in front of them, I doubt that it's going to be easy to clear them out. Usually in a scenario play, you clear out the front with your melee and you can kind of snipe things from behind. That's mm-hmm. not going to be very easy to do with.
Given that there's only three of them too, that's easier to get them all in the area that you typically need to control.
Absolutely.
So instead of having 13 medium based models in your Creel War, you got three.
And exactly. Yeah. I've been known to kill two champions just to make sure that all my champions are in the area,
yeah.
which is for them, it's three and they're only one wound. So it's hard. Yeah. It's a lot easier to do than kill champions.
So speaking of trolls, Jason, you brought one of your lists. Is this from yesterday? No, yesterday was a 500-point tournament. Obviously, you didn't bring a 750 list from that. So, but you did bring us a Horlock list to talk about?
Yeah, this is just one of the ones I threw together for last week's league play. And he came out. I glued his head and his scrolls and his feet on his base, and the armless Horlock went to town.
His feet are separate?
Mid to his torso,
right. Feet. That was being combo. Funny. That would be kind of funny if his feet were a separate bit.
Oh,
he but that was on a welt.
He doesn't wear shoes. You know, I'm loving the model actually more and more. I saw it in the picture and I was like, yeah, that does not look good. But when you look at it up close, I mean, it usually is how the models end up coming around. They look a lot better once you see them in person.
So, what'd you bring with Horlock for this monstrosity?
Well, it was just a 750 point game. And I did bring Horlock with an Earthborn bonded to him and a Dire Troll Mauler. Additionally, there was a Pyre Troll and a Slag Troll. I really wanted to try the Slag Troll out. I've used him a couple times. He's always disappointed me. He did not fail today. the Fel Caller, the four Creel Stone Bears, so the min unit plus the UA, though, five Long Riders, Gudrun the Wanderer, four Pharaoh Bone Grinders, and a Swamp Gobber Bellows crew.
Could you explain for the kind folks what his bond is?
Absolutely. It's maybe the coolest part about him. Oh my god, it's ridiculous. one non-unique Dire Troll can be bonded to him, but of course, Molg, who is a unique Dire Troll, can be because he has an affinity for Horlock. So that's something that's kind of cool with that bond. It's very interesting. While in his control area, whenever the Warbeast makes a normal melee attack that is not a charge, he can either do a double-handed throw, a headbutt, a headlock, or weapon lock, a rend, or a throw if he only has one arm, like, for example, Molg does. Instead, to make a power attack with this ability, he does have to be able to make the power attack normally. So if there is a circumstance where he can't make power attacks, that is null and void. But, I had that bonded Earthborn go to town. He's got the mat 6, so it's a little more reliable. And with most of these things that he can do with this bond, it usually knocks down the opponent. So getting them knocked down is going to be the key, and then have my Mauler clean up, which is most likely the options that we had. I actually played a pair of games, both against Epics from the new book. Both of them, one of them had been released for a while, Epic Lilith, and then the other one was against Epic Makeda, which is probably something we'll talk about a little more because she is brand new. But that bond certainly was really great in both games.
Knocked stuff down all over the place, huh?
Oh my gosh, it's not even funny.
With that big meaty fist.
So yeah, the with the Earthborn's mat, it's just a great ability for him to have. He was tossing Seraphs around, tossing Citrates around. Whether you're from the north or the east. They
get tossed.
They apparently get tossed, yeah. So it's
toss them like a salad.
I know that real quick, if we're going to talk about the second game a little more, something from the first game that was cool is I know I was getting pinned down by Lilith pretty hard. She was, killing stuff. She assassinated all but one of my Long Riders. And, I just had these Dire Trolls all clumped up with Horlock on this hill, Lilith being next to a mile away. And I end up moving around, feeding. Actually, before that happens, I should say that the Felcaller charged a Deathstalker in the back, killing it, which inspired Horlock. He was affected by Inspire. So he would be, all of his attack rolls are plus two. So I went up and I popped my feet, catching all of my beasts. And then I, which his feat is Doomshaper and friendly Trollblood Warbeast currently his control area, double their speed. I actually did that before he moved. Then he moved his 10 inches forward and around. And then I cast Mayhem, one of his spells that's absolutely phenomenal. Friendly Trollblood Warbeast, charge, slam, and trample without being forced, and they do it at speed plus five while in his currently in his control area. So you just have to cast it, and then they do that for all that.
So double speed plus five at this point.
So yeah, so the your average Dire Troll is charging 15 inches.
Without being forced.
Without being forced. Clap your hands. and then... So then after that, I go ahead and follow that up with a mob mentality. That is a that will actually move my Earthborn slightly around so I can actually get a line on this Seraph that I'm looking to charge. There's a big cloud effect in the way, and then an Angelius on the opposite side of that cloud effect. So if you're going from left to right, it would be like Angelius on the side of a 5-inch pie plate with a Gobber Cloud, and then on the back side, where I can see, my Earthborn is going to be able to see through the right side of the pie plate, but he's going to go through the middle because I can, because as long as I have line of sight, I can go wherever my, the terrain will allow.
You said so, mob mentality is what we were doing there?
Yeah, so I mob mentality him over.
I imagine the bone grinders are pretty vital to the casting of that spell because it's, what, a 10 normally?
Yeah, it's a 10, and the chalks up to a 13. Yeah, I mean, I was having a conversation the other day about, you know, what I can drop from this list, trying to improve it and whatnot, and bone grinders are just not something I'm really willing to get rid of at this point.
Well, if the target of that spell is only 10 inches away, do you need to cast it in the first place? Unless you have the thing you want to move far on your left.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, for example, I needed to get a line. I didn't have a line to him. So so shifting him to the side was very crucial. And, you know, Horlock moved upfield about, let's say, another 5 inches. So, I mean, that model is like 15 inches away. At that point, or 15 inches away from the Earthborn. He probably, if I didn't have the Bone Grinders, I don't know if I would have been able to cast Mount Mentality from my distance. So,
because you typically play Horlock pretty protectively, right? So you don't want him out in front.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's not leading the troops, sure. But he's been known to, I've been known to throw Horlock and pop him up with a Fel Collar and then have him deliver the killing blow.
Right. For the purposes of casting the spell, though, I mean, typically those 3 inches would probably be crucial just to make sure you're in range, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then at that point, Earthborn goes in, charges the Seraph, does all this for free. 50, like, it literally was like a 14-inch charge. Hits the Seraph with a charge attack, almost kills it. Second attack, throw it at Lilith, killing it because the throw is a melee attack. I'm then knocking down Lilith and the Seraph, but the Seraph dies because I boost the damage roll. So now he's got one fury on him. I can goad him up next to Lilith, hit her, and instead of just dealing damage to her because she had a lot of transfer targets and whatnot, I threw a little bit to the side into this other I think it was an archer. Hits her, knocks her down. Earthborn's still in range, finishes the pounding. I end up killing that archer who incubi's out and attacks the Earthborn. Oh well, Earthborn's fine. Then my Mauler goes. He can see Then my Slag Troll actually goes. He moves up 10 inches, takes two shots at Lilith, which is funny because it's a rat four hitting Lilith, but she's knocked down. So it's just awesome taking those shots at her. And then Mauler goes. I can see my last Cav Maul that's alive, charges all the way out, hits the Cav model, and then I attack the Incubi, kill the Incubi, force it to goad over to Lilith and clean up with my hands. So that's all that extra movement is just is really great.
Sounds like a Legion list there.
Yeah, I mean the movement is just is I don't think it's matched. I mean, let's go ahead and pair this with the Earthborn's innate ability to gain plus 2 inches of movement whenever you
start in your rough terrain.
That's a 17-inch charge, which I was trying to set that up, but where I was wasn't allowing me to do so. But I usually run my Earthborn to the nearest rough terrain first turn just to give him that bonus. And that's how that game went down. But I was getting pretty swarmed, and but what ended up panning out was a win for Horlock.
Boo, Horlock.
And I guess the second game, which was a little more interesting, was against Epic Makeda. You know, we wanted to go ahead and have the new Epics that came out that one day. They wanted to go ahead and go head-to-head. I end up rolling first turn. His list looks a little bit like Epic Makeda with a Cannoneer, a Kreia, and a Drake. Full Praetorians, full Venators, full Citrati, Saxon Auric, the Extolar Soul Ward, and a unit of Pain Givers, minimum, or minimum plus one. And so I get the first turn, and I run everything out there. In my and I load up the Creel Stone. In my second turn, I actually am able to mob mentality my Trollkin Long Riders forward twice, allowing them to charge everything in his army, and I almost actually killed the Cannoneer. So it was a very beneficial charge attack for me, and it was you know, it was pretty cool to see mob mentality trigger like that.
All right, Jason, so I guess you tell us a little bit about the games you played, but when you go into a game with this, I mean, what's your game plan? What are we trying to do with this list other than eat your opponent with a Dirigil?
Well, I mean, that simply is it. His ability to get things moving really fast is where it goes. The Long Riders are going to act as the spearhead. They're going to get in there, do what they need to do. I've got the Fellcaller usually getting behind them, giving them either War Cry or Open Road if necessary, which will either increase their mat or allow them to move across rough terrain. And, you know, they're not to be they're not to be sneezed at once they get stuck into melee either. On the charge, they have a POW 14 mount and a POW 15 charge attack with Brutal Charge, or because of Brutal Charge. And then once they're in there, they've got permanent reach and they're mat 6 POW 13s. With a good War Cry, they become mat 8 POW 13s, which can still take out its fair share of things. Additionally, there's a little troll tactic that I like to use with the Long Riders. It includes giving them the Bull Rush order once they're already in melee. While they cannot slam anything, they do get to make a slam attack at minus 2 with their mount, and that's going to be a POW 14 if I manage to hit. Using Warcry, that's going to make them a mat 6. Maybe it'll hit something, and if it doesn't, you still get to follow up with a second melee attack. So normally you would just make a melee attack. Now you're giving your chance to, if you can roll high enough, hit with a POW 14, which is very helpful. So they get stuck in there. Horlock goes into a little protective cocoon using Metamorphose, the Earthborn's Animus, which allows him to borrow armor from the nearest model, or from a model in base-to-base with him, as long as it does not have Metamorphose. And once popping the Creel Stone aura, him sitting next to the Dire Troll Mauler is going to be armor 22. So, nigh unkillable for most intents and purposes at that part of the game. Gudrun is also up there, you know, causing a ruckus. I usually just run Gudrun. If he kills anything, I consider it a bonus. For the most part, though, he just ties up stuff with the utmost efficiency. Having Pathfinder in reach, a good mat and a good POW, it's almost impossible for someone to ignore him. And then, you know, they'll eventually kill the Long Riders off, and hopefully they've done their job and taken out some things. And then at that point, I'm looking to find a way to either bounce around my, my guys on my feet turn, or allow, you know, the trolls just to grind. I mean, the Pyre Troll actually has a great ability to take out small swaths of infantry. And if you can hit a 3-inch AoE, if there's a little cluster of guys, you can actually trample up right into that 3-inch AoE and be perfectly fine. So if their Warcaster is right next to a cluster of guys, if you can get a bead on them with the Pyre Troll, take them out, and then, put the guy there for free after casting Mayhem, trampling at speed plus 5. And that extra movement is going to really allow them to get where they need to go. It's hard to screen your Warcaster, even if you have something like a light jack in front of them or something like that, or even like an Ogryn Bokur. You go ahead and charge, and you know, maybe you'll kill the Bokur, maybe you won't. And if you end up not killing him, it's even better because you can just toss him on their Warcaster, boosting your damage roll and hoping that your Strength 12 is going to be great enough to kill him, and step up to the knockdown Warcaster and finish the job. So that's usually the goal, to use the unnatural movement of the Dire Trolls with Horlock to every advantage you can possibly find.
Okay.
I have to say, typically I don't like nicknames and cute little phrases and stuff, but I like the Googe that you often use.
I do often call Gudrun the Googe, and you do often remind me of that.
Because I just think it's so funny.
Yeah, and you can tack anything on that. It could be like Googe-tastic, something like that.
Googe man.
But it sort of falls under the same Snickers thing that we see every week. You know, on the back of your Snickers bar, you know, Nougatosity, super fragitalistic, or whatever they call it. And so The goose kind of flows
on the back of a Snickers bar.
You're not in on the scene, dude.
Do you know what the Snickers logo looks like?
Yes.
The exact same thing, but it says something on the back like Nougatosity. It's like they're all made up words, and Josh and I do find them incredibly funny.
I'm not a peanut man myself. I go for the Three Musketeers.
Josh and I are candy professionals at the location of Game On.
Connoisseurs, really.
I see. Connoisseurs.
Sometimes it's the Kit Kat, the king size. How do we eat it? We each have different styles. I mean,
Who pulls apart the wafers and who goes just one stick at a time?
See, I go two sticks at a time. I eat an entire King Kat and, or king size Kit Kat in 8 bites usually.
I often go with one bar at a time, but I also eat it quickly, which I'm thinking about changing that style. So I'd like to savor it a little bit more.
I was thinking about cutting it up and putting it in milk and eating it like cereal.
Pat, what about you? What's your favorite candy consumption style?
I like cake soup.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, I was going to ask if you ever had cake soup.
I have had cake soup.
It's supposed to be done with carrot cake specifically. You can do it with other cakes. Cut it up in little squares, put it in milk, and eat it like soup.
In the arcade. Three or four years ago, probably.
Yeah, years ago.
My buddy busted in the door the other day. I told him to get me something awesome. He got one of my favorite things, which is Rainbow Chips Deluxe Cookies. He pulls out a bag of Honeygrams the bears. What are they called?
Honeygrams, I think.
Oh, yeah, Honeygrams.
Yeah, those are good. Okay. And he proceeds to pour it in a bowl, pour milk over it, and eat it like cereal.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Those are good. And
all right then.
Yeah, and speaking of snacking, these dire trolls they get their share. Mulg's like, are you gonna eat that?
Mulg's not in this list.
Mulg's not in this list, but you know what? I go ahead and give you my solemn word that he will be once he is released at the beginning of next month. I will plop down my $60 proudly and find the hollow Mulg at my front.
So what do you think, then? We talk about this list's strength as the maneuverability of the trolls, basically, of the dire trolls. Mm-hmm. Where would you place its weakness?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, the best way to neuter this list is to do what Tim happened to do with Epic Makeda. Like I said, I got a little too aggressive, and I love being aggressive. When I play games, my stuff runs and runs and charges and then fights. That's just how it is. That's how the game should be played, I think. A lot of times, I'll just run stuff just to get up in your face and make you deal with it and maybe throw you off your game, which will give me the smallest advantage, and I can take advantage of that or capitalize, if you will. But the weakness, the trolls need to get to your warlock. And if you can play an attrition game with the trolls, which usually their infantry is very great at, but a mauler is still just a 12-18 with a decent amount of boxes. It's not that hard to take down. Yes, if you get the aura up, it can be helpful, but they're so far ahead most of the time. I mean, unless when you're clustering, yes, it's going to be hard to kill them. But when they're ahead, it's going to be very, very easy to pick them apart, even with, you know, regular infantry, something that we've been finding out, you know, more and more with these infantry swarm lists.
Their great attrition strength is the fact that if you don't kill them, they can regenerate very effectively.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop you from killing them in the first place if you get enough on them.
Sure, exactly. They just have a hard time, I mean, dealing with so much things. He just had a giant clump of Venators, Pain Givers, and Praetorians right in front of Makeda, and I couldn't get there. In the end, my Earthmores tossed around Satrati, and I ended up saying, you know, I think I just don't see a way I can, you know, polish this off. And we metagamed a little way for him to just get to Horluck with the AG and the Ancestral Guardian, if you will, and finish it off. And that I think is going to be the best way. Now, I went first, and then I was on him turn two with my long riders. So he had no time to maneuver. He had no time to spread out. In the future, if I see a large infantry force such as this, I mean, he only brought 3 beasts and a lot of cheap infantry. I'm going to be looking to spread it out a little bit. Push them to make a decision on where they want their infantry. If they're going to play him back, then what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to flank with my long riders and try to come at the side of them instead of right in the front. And that way, it may be detrimental. Now, when I was playing the Legion army, like I talked about, there was a little more beasts. You know, there's a little more beasts. You had a Seraph, maybe a pair of Seraphs and an Angel, or maybe just one Seraph and Angel and some Shredders and stuff. But, you know, he had archers. He didn't have a lot of melee-oriented troops, and they weren't the kind that were running up and then attacking.
Mm-hmm.
See, his Praetorians got one run, and that was it. And that was all they got. So, I mean, they didn't get to do anything that was that was a long distance charge or anything like that, or maybe a big movement with Road to War, Epic Makeda spell, which will allow you to get +2 inches to your run or your advance. I think that the clump is going to be a really big weak point, not being able to get the Warbeast on their Warcaster.
Gotcha.
Additionally, something that you've known forever, the worst statistics for a Warlock or Warcaster are Horlux. He is a 13-14. He's only speed 5, and without a buddy to help him get the armor boost, it's going to be tough. If you can take out that guy that he's metamorphosing from, under the aura, he'll only be a 16. He'll be a 13-16. I mean, I can imagine he'll be pretty easy to take out.
Yeah, that's nothing really. He's probably going to be using all his fury to cast his spells, to get his dire trolls moved all over the place. So if you can get to him without that battle buddy,
yep,
he's going to feel the pain.
And you know, a good epic Horlock player is not going to allow you to do that. But if, you know, like I said, under the aura, the Mauler becomes arm 20. But, you know, we've had arm 20 things in War Machine before. We've had armor buffing from the trolls from the get-go. You can kill an arm 20 Mauler. You just have to be able to get to him correctly. And you have to finish the job.
Yep.
Because if you don't, not only will he regenerate, but he's going to kill you. So and those are things that are that I would say are the weak points of this list. Achilles heal. Horlux heal. Yeah. He's got an evil big chin now, though. It's even bigger than it was before.
That's how he went epic.
Yeah, his chin grew out a little bit.
He is now the Jade Leno of trolls.
It's true.
So, Josh, I think Circle's the next faction in the book. And we were talking about movie models out of base-to-base with Horlock. I think you got a pretty decent way to do that now in this book, didn't you?
Yeah, this topic came up whenever James was on a while ago. And we were discussing different ways you can push or throw or whatever to get, say, the Mauler out of the way. And with Epic Kruger and the Druids and all this nudging and whatnot now, it shouldn't be too difficult, especially on Kruger's feet turn, to split those models up. I mean, all you have to do is just separate him by a fraction of a millimeter, and all of a sudden Metamorphosis goes away.
How would you get to him, though? I mean, I totally agree with you, separating.
Well, I think maybe if you did have E. Kruger, maybe the Tharn Leap would actually come into play here.
I could see that.
Now, again, that's after they advance, so they won't be moving that far, but if he happens to be just behind the lines, then maybe a couple leaps would get over there, and then they could finish the job, or at least put some heavy damage on him.
I don't think Circle has a problem maneuvering to get to where they need to be to get the assassination.
Absolutely.
If he's only a 13-16, if you can use those druids to pull the Mauler away.
Mm-hmm. Hell, they did that double spell storm.
A spell thrower, yeah, that could do 2 nudges a turn. Well, I'm sorry, nudge only applies to friendly models. Wind storm hand.
Yeah, you can literally pull a model like completely out of nowhere. Now, the biggest problem that I see, and I personally have grown to love this Druid's Overseer, you're going to see the Druids up a little farther. They're going to be a little more aggressive. If you want to get my Dire Troll away from Horlock, yeah, they're speed 6, but they're only range 10. And that means 16 inches, and they're usually hanging out by your Warlock. So
typically,
if there's a
16-inch
gap, that's most of the time my time to hop on you. But like I said, you know, Circle presents so many different threats from all these different angles. I think it's definitely possible to pull off.
Absolutely. In terms of just abusing like nudge and wind strike from the Overseer, you know, if you had E-Kruger, you could nudge him forward, he could feet, and that's going to push guys away, but then you'd still have to have the Druids farther up, and activation order is actually kind of screwy there. So you'd have to be careful about how you're activating things, because you can't think, I'm going to nudge this guy, activate Kruger, and then pull somebody else. It doesn't work like that. But still, just getting beyond the troll lines, you know, cracking that nut, getting past that outer shell is the key, because like we're saying, he's a squishy center, and a Horlockal die like you're the nougaty center of your Three Musketeers, Dave.
Nougatosity.
Wow. Nougatosity. That'd be nougatastic.
Additionally, something that Circle has that I don't know if you guys noticed in this list, the Fel'Kalar open roading the long arms is the only rough terrain, you know, denial, or not denial, but the only way to get around rough terrain in this entire list.
Yep.
I don't have an Axer in it, and I think that's probably going to change. The Slag Troll was purely there to be the Slag Troll and how hilarious he is.
Does the Earthborn, he doesn't get Pathfinder if he starts near rough terrain?
He does not, no.
Just the extra movement.
And so there's really, and Horlock has no way of mitigating it either for his trolls. So, you know, a rush will probably be added to this list, but it's always helpful to, you know, for Circle, just pop up some forests.
Yeah, it's kind of old hat to say that, but really, you know, Circle excels at that. You know,
yeah.
Just put your mannequin out there, put the force right where your opponent doesn't want it to be, and then use that to your advantage whenever you maneuver around.
And even if you can mitigate the rough terrain, you can't mitigate the line of sight blocking.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that is old hat.
Sure. It is. It's a very old hat. It's all
is
worn.
Is it a bowler or a fedora?
It could be a top hat. Ooh. It could be the top hat that Wrong Eye wears. Ooh. He is definitely old hat.
He is old hat.
And he's new hat at the same time.
He's not even out yet.
He's pre-hat.
But, you know, with all the maneuverability, you have Wolf Riders to go around to flank you. You have Blood Weavers now that can run up the sides, either side, really both sides. I think getting around your spearhead of your Long Riders wouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah.
If I were willing to sacrifice my center, put something for you to destroy, to distract you while I try to make my way around yep. the sides.
And I will say that's definitely going to be something that I'm going to have to look out for, or most troll players are going to have to look out for. Horlock is just known for getting flanked. He just gets flanked. It's just how it works.
Especially when you have so many dyers.
Yeah, exactly. He has run so many big mm-hmm. things. And you know, it's almost a detriment to run the Long Riders, but they are just so fast for the trolls. And they can just really provide a solid beating. I just can't imagine getting away from them right now. Maybe with the inclusion of the Fen Blades, they might help. They can also clear up. They have a long threat range and a good mat. So it's a... they're definitely an option at that point. But also, as you said, you know, you are sacrificing your center and Horlock. I mean, I don't doubt I will be top of two killing casters with him. So, I mean, if you run first turn, that's 10 inches off the line and Earthborn standing next to Rough Terrain moves 17 inches, that's 27 inches. You have to move an inch off your line if you're on the front line to be safe. As long as I can get a line somehow.
I mean, yeah, that's all assuming straight lines, perfect geometry on the table and whatnot. So.
True. But trample can ignore an entire sure, thing of bases in the way. So,
but like you're saying, you had trouble with Tim and him massing people in front of his yep. In front of Makeda, right? So, proper yep. positioning of your own meat shield is crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's a circle. I guess Legion. Well, we don't have quite as many ways to move beasts away from Horlock, but we could slam them with stuff with wings. It's probably the best way to do it. Slam stuff away from him. Using Slipstream to get those slam lanes if need be. Especially if I can slam something over him, that's a dead Horlock. Because then you've got no defense on top of your crappy armor. And you don't want that. However, my stuff is frail enough that, you know, if you get a jump on me and charge me, my stuff's going to die. So I got to use stuff like relatively high speed swordsman, especially if I can get the UA on him for Pathfinder to get up there. Wreck some stuff with Weapon Master. Archers with Poison Arrows. Basically ranged Weapon Masters with CRA. And start tying stuff down. I think Saren would be very good for two reasons. The obvious feat. And two, breath stealing your dire trolls so they can't go anywhere. Now if you do that, Saren's close enough that she actually had to get that spell. She's up there pretty close. So you have to make sure to flood the field between. Because those beasts could still walk, eight. What's their base speed?
5.
So they can walk 6 with your feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's decent. So you'll probably be okay. But on top of that, your mob mentality, you can get them up a couple inches here and there. You could still get them up close enough. Very if true. You don't block Saren, she's still killable. Unless she feed it on herself.
Exactly. And also, I mean, the swordsmen are actually the perfect thing for anti-trample. They've got the high defense, and they actually have the output to be able to damage the dire trolls as well. Yeah,
that weapon master on free strikes is horrible.
It is horrible. It's going to hurt. And they, you know, like I said, the high defense is where it really is.
I think raptors, too, because of the high speed and the swordmaster weapon masters, they can get some charges off and try and wreck things, maybe kill a beast or two. I think 3 of them could probably take out a dire troll. If they're out of the Kuril Stone. If they're within the Kuril Stone, they would need to move away and let something else finish it off. But I think that would be a good way to take at least one troll out of the equation.
I think it's some pretty good rolls for 3 Swordmaster Weapon Masters to take out a Dire Troll.
I do it regularly. I mean, not without the Kuril Stone, though.
I'm just saying 14 on average, it's 6 on 3 attacks and then 2 on 3 attacks. That's only... That's 18 plus 6 is 22. I mean,
on the charge?
Yeah. Because you're Pow 10, right?
Yeah.
Pow 10 would be 24. So that's 6 times 3 and then plus 2 times 3.
How many boxes is it?
6 times 4, 24. They have 29, mm-hmm. 28. It's just above average. That's all.
So still, but yeah, I mean, even if it can't kill them, like I said, you got stuff like Seraphs or Arches of Poison Arrows.
Yep.
Try and finish it off.
They will.
I think that my first target in this, I don't even know which beast. I guess it has to be the bonded beast.
The Earthborn.
For two reasons, you can't do Metamorphosis anymore. And the fact that those free throws are going to suck horribly. It depends on the list, what's going on there. I might throw an Angelius in there just to kill it. Even if that Angelius is dying the next turn.
Yep.
But if it doesn't, if you decide to try and go for me instead, well, now it's in your backfield, and that's even worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, everyone loves their Angelius. You really want to get it on, that thrust off on the Warlock. But if instead you can neuter the Warlock, that's a cost you should take, throw out there.
Absolutely.
But, other than that, standard Legion tricks, trying to find a line to the Warlock and get to him. I mean, Slipstream to get charge lanes, Strafe, not as big of a deal, but you can put multiple hits on things, which is always good. I think Epic Thagrash might be funny in this list. Just get a bunch of beasts in the table, yours and Horlux, and just go at each other.
Yeah, no, that definitely would be fun.
That would be Smash Mouth.
It would. But I will say Epic Thagrash is kind of scary Earthborn bait because he's a low defense, and I believe power of his weapon is humongous.
If you get to him, he's dead.
Yeah, he's got a power 7 weapon, so the Earthborn without buffs is hitting a power 19. That's two on the roll. It's not going to be very much fun.
Yeah, no, not at all. Absolutely, if you could get the Thagrash, he'd be dead. But it would just be funny because he'd have his beasts going kind of high. And you'd have yours. And
yeah, no, it would be definitely...
A lot of death and destruction. So, but I don't know. Absalonia for pulling beasts away.
Absolutely.
Get over here! The whole scorpion. Yeah. Kind of pull him out of the Creel Stone and then wail on him.
That's so 90s, Dave.
No, that's not true. Mortal Kombat vs. DC just came out.
Well, yeah, but it started in the 90s. Old school Scorpion.
It's old.
I had Mortal Kombat on the original Game Boy.
Wow. And here's, Sub-Zero every time.
Here's the bad thing about that: the game ran so slow that if you speed put in any special attack, the game would not pick it up. If I wanted to, for example, throw the line with Scorpion, I had to hit away, back, punch. Wow. Any faster than that, and it wouldn't work.
That would not be very much fun.
No, it wasn't. But anyway, back to the Legion. You get over here, pull them off.
Yeah.
Especially if she can use Spirit Eater to take the Fury off that beast.
Yeah.
To prime for another maneuver or two. I think she could be an interesting option if I can keep her safe.
She too actually can. She can get behind there and actually deal the damage to Horlock herself if she wants.
If she could, she's got a spin to glide. And she might have to spin for Eyeless Sight, depending on where you position with Force and whatnot. She still couldn't go over rough terrain.
True, but I mean, I'm not going to be hiding in rough terrain either, because my guys can't mitigate it either.
Right.
So.
But, she could do it herself. She can pull stuff out. But she's at a lower defense than the rest of my Legion Miles, which makes it even easier for your Dire Trolls to snack on her.
That is true.
So.
That is true.
I think that's Legion in a nutshell. I think we've already heard how Scorn does it.
Yeah, Scorn, I mean...
You just flood the field and send an AG in.
Yep, exactly. And then once, like I said, I'll say it again, once that Ray Deem character comes around, he's not going to play well with Dire Trolls either. He will get in there, take out a chunk, the rest of his Ferox can get in there, and then he's got a good enough defense where I'm probably going to be missing and you're going to be running away.
Mm. Yep.
So.
Yep, he's going to be a problem.
He will be.
I guess we're going to kind of shortcut Scorn at that, because, I mean, that's...
That
worked really well, it sounds like.
It definitely did. And, I mean, any other thing that we were talking about at the end, I mean, you've got a Satrati, not trampleable.
Throwable over small bases, that's the problem.
That is true. But if you position them in a way where I can't get around you, then it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And plus, it's going to expend fury from my guys.
Mm-hmm.
A good double shield wall line could actually be quite beneficial. Additionally, I believe the Agonizer, very, very potent, taking away the ability.
The Kriya,
and that's another thing that really
screwed me. You can't go anywhere. You can't take that fury.
Oh my gosh, she used the spiritual paralysis on my Dire Troll, and then he shot him with the gun, which was also locking him down from being leeched. So their ability to mitigate the fury with my trolls is very good because they're the ones dealing the damage.
Yeah, how much does a Kriya cost?
60 something.
You're 64. Spending it every turn to take out 120 parts of troll.
Yep.
Win for the Scorn player.
Win for the Scorn player indeed.
So yeah.
And that Kriya is hard to kill.
Yep. So that's that pretty much. especially, you know, large base, you can, they can see you from the back.
Yep.
I guess that's pretty much it for hordes, right?
Pretty yeah. much.
The quick, I'm gonna do the quick version of the Protectorate. Do what the Scorn do. You've got tons of models. You've got some you can make invincible. Between set defense and our defensive buffs, you're gonna make it high defense and hard to hit. I'm gonna do what you want to do to me. I'm gonna frustrate you and basically make it so you want to show me the hole to get my Ancestral Guardian through.
Yeah, I mean, in Zealots alone, they are so good at taking out troll mm-hmm. high armor, low mm-hmm. defense. It's ridiculous.
Also, all of my weapon masters, between my knights, the unit, even paladins, that's mat 7, mat 8, Poplar Strength 15,
14.
Weapon master. I think they're...
Vilmon's
15, they're 14. But still, weapon masters on the charge. That's a 19-point buzzsaw that I will throw at your trolls instantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... a lot of good ways to try and pick on the trolls or the cav models. Lots of miles to flood the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Idrian's throwing up intercept and just being annoying.
Yeah.
Or as Crix goes, same thing as a circle, except it's going to be more difficult to move that mauler away from Horlug to remove Metapore, more pose. So in that case, it's probably going to have to, or I'm going to have to rely on a flanking arc node maybe to slam one or two things out of the way to mm-hmm. separate the two. And from then on out, it's the same as anything circle would do, just spell you to death or, you know, do whatever I need to do, because like we're saying, he's low defense, low armor.
Yeah. I think you have your extra Arcanone the same way I have Seneschals. They can be little slam missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can field so many of them, you can sack one or two to slam and then right. still have the others to do things with.
The only difficulty would be to make sure that they're in control range to do that, which might be too tight of a space considering how fast you're going to be in my face.
Additionally, I mean, Crix has a lot of awesome options at slowing them down. Pistol Wraith.
True. Yeah,
mm-hmm. He's Wrath 7, defense 11, Earthborn. You need, you know, not 3 yep. or lower. Yeah.
There's very little that would not work well.
Either Denegra or anything. Beautiful.
Sure, yeah. Well, I can't think of anything that would be bad against this, yeah. really. I think yeah. everything would be at least okay.
You kind
of
have the...
except maybe the Coven.
You kind of have the Legion problem. You have to slow them down and mm-hmm. kill stuff before they get to your Warcasters, because with a few exceptions, your Warcasters aren't that tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just said the Coven, but that's not entirely true. They have a couple of tricks that would still work okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the cages.
Imprison would
work Imprison well. A Dire Troll would be funny.
I mean, your Stone Scribe Elder can make everything or attacks magical, right? Yeah. Which, yeah, you can wipe out Imprison pretty easily that way. But,
Well, if you're doing that, though, you don't get the armor bonus, yeah, correct?
That's true. That's true.
No,
oh, that one does give it to you.
That is okay. The one you do. Yep.
Okay.
It's the, there's either the can't be moved, no blast damage, and then the effects. Plus two strength, plus strength, and then right. you the one that you always get the bonus is the Wraithbane.
Gotcha. Right. Okay.
So yeah, but still there's lots of things you can do. You know, the same regular things you do with Crix will work well against this. You just have to do it yeah. faster.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
What about Signar, Pat?
Well, I was thinking somewhere along the lines of what you'd said with Protectorate and the Scorn. If you went to, and it would be more of a defensive play, I'd go with Darius. I can see putting Darius behind a wall of two Centurions and Old Rowdy, with Old Rowdy having Fortify on it. It's basically an immovable wall, so it would kind of do the same thing. It would frustrate you in the fact that I've got an immovable wall that most of it can't even be charged, so it would slow you down slightly.
Immensely.
Well, immensely,
even
yeah.
They're gonna track, attacks.
Yep. He could still run up there, but he wouldn't get that 15 or the 14-inch charge, mm-hmm. not on the Centurions. So that would at least keep, you know, and then Darius himself he's, you know, high armor, you know, couple that with, like you said, the arc shield from Junior, the extra focus from the Squire.
Those cat pass can take a beating.
You know, throw in a couple things, you know, like you said, the Black 13th to try to do some things that would mm-hmm. be good. Now that would be defensive. Offensively, what, like you were saying, if you're going to try to move somebody, if you're going to try to move his bond away from him, I guess the best way to maybe go to go about that would be Epic Haley mm-hmm. using
what about gun mages?
Telekinesis. Well, the gun mages possibly do it.
You have to get the right angle.
You'd have to hope for a line actually push Horlock
honestly,
away. Probably.
I could try to do the same thing with Siege, but again, you've got to get
that could be interesting.
You got to get it out there and get the line. I got to get my arc node out in the mm-hmm. you know in line. And hope for the best.
You know, I think Siege
and it's also
have a
expensive.
Really good,
yeah.
With your arc node, I think you're onto something there. Siege popping that
shockwave,
mm-hmm. and then having Horlux armor
that's
and right. all mm-hmm. your trolls.
Ew.
That's going to hurt. I mean, Signar just has great options all around as well, because they, I mean, like you said with the Weapon Masters, I mean, Stormblades, or even if you could, with the new Dismember on the Sword Knights.
Sword Knights. That's,
or
Pendrake,
or bring
on anything.
Pendrake, yeah, it's, exactly.
Pendrake, Sword Knights.
Why, hell, why not take both?
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. I think so, so. Wow, Sword Knights, yeah, would be horrible.
Yeah, if you could get trolls. A, he's like Run a Lancer. Sword Knights,
pipe on them, give them Pathfinder.
Yeah, actually, Sword Knights would be good. I would say Sword Knights would be a good unit to put into the to the Darius list. I mean, you know, you've got all those jacks in the first place.
Yep.
They love jacks, so there you go.
Send them out the side and say, okay, you can come up and run to my little Fortress of Power, but if you do, here come my Sword Knights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like flanking Sword Knights with a half jack.
Yeah.
That's so
it's
funny.
That is, yeah, the half jacks, those little bastards are really useful.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, a lot of nasty little tricks they can do.
Oh, I know. I charge them all the time. I run them, and then I have Darius pop full throttle and charge them to get the distance, and then I crane my guy over.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It definitely won me some great wins.
What about – well, do you have anything else for Signar?
I think that, you know, like I said, that's it quickly.
I think we hit on some big ones right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kador?
Kill me.
Kill him. Yeah. Really, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for Kador...
We talked about the Great Bears already. The
Great Bears are going to be just gross. They're not going to be fun to face.
Three of my Paladins of the Wall buzzsaws going at your jacks.
Exactly, and they have backswing.
Even Doom Reavers.
Yep.
Get a charge off with them.
Yep.
That's going to hurt a lot.
It is.
Their Ulan, especially with Markov, hold up your cav.
Yeah.
Even if they have to run them up, stay in base to base so they get their defense bonus.
Yeah.
Or armor bonus, I'm sorry. Just to slow kill them down just a hair. I mean, even if you kill them all, your long riders are still tied on that flank.
That's true.
I don't know. And Markov's stupid 4-inch rain, what's his pike called? Whatever it is.
Whatever, blasting pike from hell.
Yeah. That's. Oh, look, a crit and everybody's knocked down. That's worse than old Rowdy.
It is. It is. I mean, the things Kyra can do are just no fun. You know, if my defense is high armor, then
they counter that beautifully. Counter,
so,
and getting some warriors in the Creel Stone, take them out.
Yep.
Kador just needs to get the jump on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Old Witch, throwing down the thing to damage you if you move. It's not going to kill your beasts, but it prevents charges.
Hell, I mean, just Old Witch scrapjacking. If they go second, first turn, stopping my movement charges, and then they set up their counter charge for the win.
And she's got Strangling Change, kind of like the Absolani thing we talked about earlier. Pull a beast away.
Yep. Yep.
So
that's that is really good.
And or Irisk, the Rough Terrain, like you said, you can only mitigate so much.
The Earthborn, though, does get +2 inches of movement while in his control area.
That would be hilarious. Wait, is it by terrain that causes Rough Terrain?
I believe it is WoW within 2 inches of rough terrain. It may be a terrain feature. It may be. I may be wrong. But sorry.
That's okay. But either way, he's rough terrain's going to kind of host himself.
Absolutely.
Nice. Vlad, regular Vlad, just so his feet can mimic yours, and you can have double speed, giant robots and dinosaurs racing all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, Vlad just he can run up on his own. Like, he'll be fine. Just run just Vlad against the army. He should be able to tear through it.
Something tells me he's not going to survive. Something about you throwing a beast on his head and then
probably throwing a long rider on him.
Yeah.
And then having a mauler charge him. But hey.
Yeah. But your defense is armor. Kador's strength is damage.
Yep. It is the counter. And usually the damage can. Usually the offense in this game always trumps defense. I really can't think of a time when the at the highest peak of both, they just can't.
Yeah.
The offense loses.
Mm-hmm. The only one I can think of is Greater Destiny, which is one of the reasons I think it's probably going to go away.
Yep. Hey, Bile Thralls.
Yeah. We don't usually talk about mercenaries. We haven't really brought them up.
I was about to say I wanted to talk about a mercenary army, just the pirates.
I was going to say Bart.
Yeah.
How would you deal with Bart and his feet?
I would not have a lot of fun, and I would cry, and I would go home with my models. I played a Bart player yesterday, and I was lucky. I was running Madrak, so I was sure-footed.
There you go.
And I ran the champions, and then I ran everyone next to the champions. So
sure.
That was helpful. But against this list, if he is smart enough to pop his feet, the one thing that I have is the element of surprise, because my guys move ridiculously fast, and if I can kill a model, which all those juicy solos are back there, if I can kill it, I can go to move 2 inches, and I can hit Bart. Bart's not at the top tier of defense. He's a 15, I believe.
I think he's 15, 16.
Yeah. So a good boosted could really ruin his day.
Yep.
And
especially because he's probably cast broadsides and kind of fed his jacks the previous turn to shoot at you.
Exactly.
He's probably at low fury or low focus, if any.
So I think I kind of may, while he's going to have to feed on a turn that I'm already stuck in there for me to like be scared, because I think I can get in on him because it's only a 12-inch control area. I think I could get up there.
You don't think
there.
He could feed to prevent your...
That's what I'm saying. He feeds, and then I don't go in. So unless I'm already stuck in there, his feet's not going to be super crazy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely good. I would be more worried about someone like Shay, just like absolutely like blocking line of sights with his little tornado, his feet just like moving everything around, him jumping on me a lot faster. And then the tough pirates are just going to be – I'm not going to be able to goad easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure Bart has the same thing, but usually he's a little jack heavier.
Fiona's feet's pretty painful for you if you try and make the attack too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of my favorite jacks in the game, the Buccaneer, he could just – you don't go that far. You just stay right there.
Yep.
And – you know, paired 30 mag, it's really easy to hit anything, so.
Yep. So, actually, Mercenary's decent chancer.
Yeah, and Magnus.
Go Pirates.
I was going to say, just knock everything down.
Yeah, I'm in base to base. I'm in base to base with the
That's
Earth.
That's true.
With the Mauler.
Which is
the
defense Mauler. 11. Or, yeah, 11.
The Mauler's 12. I'm usually in base to base with the Mauler.
That's true, because the Earthborn doesn't give you anything.
Exactly. So,
and that's not even counting if you have a mule that might have a crit devastation going on with, say, Ashlyn or anybody else, going to let him boost.
Yeah, that mule is a perfect way to get the two separated as well. Mm-hmm. Good
oh
point.
My god!
So, yay, Mercs! You just got some love.
There you go.
Dude, I'm a big fan of the Mercs.
We should say dwarves pulling stuff with Gordon.
Yeah, feeding and picking the order correctly.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Relicene would have gotten upset with me if I had failed to say that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So.
Well, counter to last week's short episode, this one was a little bit meatier.
It was meatier. It was big, meaty, like a claw.
I'm glad we got back to our normal format, get to get a list in and get some discussion.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Scorn and Troll new stuff, really. Scheduling conflicts, we couldn't get the people who played those games on, so we'll probably maybe try that next week.
We'll see what we can do.
It was good to break that big line of Metamorphosis.
Yes.
Shows up anyway.
Right.
So. Absolutely.
Was that a criticism? You don't like our Metamorphosis shows?
I hate them.
Okay. Wow.
I'm an avid listener. I like to. I love listening to the show, and I like. You know, I think the way that you guys operated was just fine.
Well, Jason, thank you for coming on again.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it. I appreciate you know, being on, and like I said, I'm an avid listener, so being on with you guys is fun.
Well, I know we actually don't get a whole lot of troll loving, so it's actually good once I'll have someone who loves him as much as you do to make up for our lack of love.
Well, I mean, you had Razzie and AK on, though. They both had a little troll loving, haven't they?
They have.
Did we have Razzie on for trolls?
We did. He did Graham Angus.
Yeah, that's correct.
So. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know if I said this earlier, actually, not like I said. You know, we played a 500-point tournament yesterday, and I was just so happy playing with my trolls. It brings me back to when I first started getting Madrak, peeling them out of the box and ripping it open and playing games and having a lot of fun. And on the last time I was on, you guys were like, well, if you're really a troll player, why don't you play trolls?
Oh yeah. We're a troll about that.
And you know,
you finally feel like you can again.
We'll see. I mean, I love them. I plan on playing them this year in Masters at Gen Con. So I'm going to be working on some Steamroller 4 stuff.
Cool.
Hopefully Caladra will be out, because I think she'll be a really big help for my 500-point lists.
Yeah, she will.
And we'll go from there. I mean, I showed really well yesterday in my tournament, and hopefully I can, you know, continue the progress.
That's good. Cool. Well, like I said, thank you for coming on.
Not a problem.
And everyone else, see you next week.
See you.
Eat a Kit Kat.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.